Now, more of Rough and Justice, the story of the 1976 New England Patriots on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Wake up, everybody, no more sleeping in bed. No more back thinking, time for thinking ahead.
I made the right call. The league office said I made the right call. That's the only thing that counts.
40 years later, Ben Dreith stands by the call that ended a potential Super Bowl season for the Patriots. As you'd imagine, the color of your uniform has a big influence on your opinion on said ruling. Raiders receiver Cliff Branch.
That was a big call and a big play and a bad play by whoever made the hit on Kenny. And I didn't realize until I saw films later it was a very, very close call and it could have gone either way.
Ultimately, it was our inability to rise to the occasion and stop them. But, you know, that's an awful tough call at that point of the game. It hasn't changed. They're never going to change it. So, you know, I'll get over it eventually.
Steve Nelson may, but John Hanna won't.
No, I think the fix was in it. I think it was an NFL control thing. It wasn't a Raider deal.
The Raiders were trying to build a stadium and stay in Oakland at that time. I guess they figured if they could do that, that might help them raise the money from the city, and that'd help the NFL out. You know, the NFL has helped when stadiums are built and, you know, things like that. So I think it was at the league. That's who pays the officials.
The Patriot Ledger's Ron Hobson.
Ben Dreith was original, one of the last of the holdovers from the American Football League, and he's a very flamboyant guy. You know, he's doing the business under the pile, that kind of stuff.
Personal foul.
I will pick this up.
On number 99 of the defense, after he tackled the quarterback, he's giving them business down there. That's a 15-yard penalty.
He was trying to be the show. In that game, if you recall, Oakland had 11 penalties for like 93 yards. Patriots had 10 penalties for 85 yards, 86 yards. So there were a lot of penalties called. But that one was the mystery of all time.
I worked 31 years, 3 Super Bowls. I have 28 straight playoff games. Nobody ever has my record.
Hey, guys make mistakes. He made a mistake, you know. He just has to admit it. I don't think he's going to.
He wasn't a guy I ever talked to. He struck me as being an old drill sergeant kind of guy. You didn't buddy up to him. Now, on the other hand, the defensive secondary field judge, is that what they call him? His son was my backup at Kansas State. So I knew him, I talked to him a couple times during the year when they did other games. And I remember after the game when we were in the parking lot and the officials were coming out to leave, and I was going to walk over and say hi to him, and the cops stepped in front of me. They thought I was going after the officials.
Steve Grogan may have been tempted, but he held back. And as time went by, he and his teammates learned to live with what was almost universally seen as a grave injustice.
We went to the Pro Bowl, and a couple of the Raiders guys were, you know, it was the first year that Leon and I made it to the Pro Bowl together. I remember we were taking a lot of grief from some of the Raider guys all week. Finally, at the end, I remember Jack Lambert said some of those guys like, why don't you guys shut up? We all know the only reason you won is because you bought off the referees.
You know, in years past, the game, golf tournaments and things we go to when I was playing in San Francisco up in the Bay Area, you know, Kenny, all those guys, nobody was holding anything back. They say, yeah, that was an odd call. There's no interference.
Sometimes lost in the roughing the passer controversy is the battle between Russ Francis and Phil Villapiano in that game. It was a classic, and it didn't end on the Oakland Coliseum field.
You know, Russ and I became pretty good buddies after. I mean, we fought hard against each other, and then we played some football games together, so we became pretty good friends.
I had an inter-island charter service that I started in Hawaii, so I flew every day in the offseason.
We go over to Hawaii. We went over to just a little vacation. I called Russ. I said, hey, Russ, I'm coming over. He goes, Phil, great. Let's go whale watching. And I'm like, what? Whale watching? He goes, yeah, I got my pilot's license. Let's go up in my plane.
I said, well, all of our charter aircraft are booked, but I have a single-engine airplane I can take you guys to shoot you over. It's only about a 30-minute flight.
So we go up in this plane, and it's got 2 seats in the front, and it got a little jump seat in the back, and my wife, Patty, was back there. And we flew out to Maui. Now, it was the time of year the whales are hibernating or having babies or whatever they're doing, okay? So they're all down there. Russ goes, look down there. Look down there. Me and Patty go, oh. And he turns the plane. So now the wings are 90 degrees from the ocean, perpendicular. There was like a knob on the door. You slide the knob back, and then the door opens. So now he flips the plane, reaches over, slides it, the door opens, and goes, get the f*** out. I'm like, what are you talking about? He says, did you hold me? I went, yes, I did.
I tell you, I think that any Patriot player you talk to about that Raider game in 1976, that playoff game, still holds, I don't know if it's a grudge, but still holds a strong memory of the fact that that wasn't the way that game should have gone. We were leading and should have continued to score and so forth and so on when those, some of those calls were made that killed drives and whatnot. But the main reason I think if you talk to the players is it's not for their own ego of we should have beat them. It's because the fans deserved us to beat them. The fans that year, in 1976, after that dismal year in 75, they were phenomenal. And anybody that says that the fans, they don't hear the fans, you can't help but be electrified by their passion and their support during a game. I mean, you could feel it as much as hear it.
It was kind of an interesting day. It, you know, you look back on it, the Raiders beat Pittsburgh the following week. They had a bunch of guys hurt. And then they beat Minnesota in the Super Bowl, and Minnesota never could beat anybody in the Super Bowl. So it could have been history a whole lot different, but can't change it now.
Unfortunately, it didn't work out the way we wanted to. And you know, you look back and you know, say that call doesn't get called. We win the game. We play a Pittsburgh team that's all beat up, play the Vikings in the playoffs, and I think we would have beaten them. You know, what changes in the next 4 or 5 years of this franchise? You know, who knows what could happen?
Well, we all know what did happen. The following season was torpedoed right from the start as Hanna and Leon Gray held out in a contract dispute. Then in 1978, Chuck Fairbanks' tenure came to a messy ending as he accepted a job at the University of Colorado just as his team was about to play the Houston Oilers in the playoffs. Mike Haynes reflects on what might have been.
It bothers me because I knew that that probably would have launched us into, like, the way the Patriots are playing today, you know. It would have launched us in a way that would have helped propel us into several AFC championship-type situations. And, yeah, it bothers me. It bothers me a lot. It didn't really bother me back then as much because I thought, oh, well, this year we're going to go, you know. And I just thought, okay, we didn't go that year. Oh, well, we're going to go. And I realized as you get older and older that it's tougher and tougher. And so you have to seize those moments when you can.
We made some mistakes in judgment. We, being the Sullivan family, made mistakes in judgment in terms of retaining some of these really special players. And I think that had we done that, we could have had a pretty interesting run of being very competitive for Super Bowls for 5 or 6 years.
Instead, Patrick Sullivan watched as the teams that followed never reached their potential.
It wasn't really financial considerations. It was actually, it wasn't really even bad talent evaluation because we added some players to the talent pool that we had. What it was not establishing with our players that we had a commitment to win and getting our players, our coaches, and the ownership of the team all understanding that each other had the same objective. That seems like a simple management thing, but it's actually something that I have found in this business that you have to have everybody pulling with the same oar. And we didn't.
First and 10, Patriots at the Raider 42. Time remaining, 1:50 left to play. Brady out of a shotgun. Snow continues to come down. Brady calling signals. The direct snap to Brady. Standing in there, looks to the left, loses the football. It's on the ground, and let's see if it's a fumble or a pass attempt. I believe it's going to be called a fumble. It is. A fumble, and the Oakland Raiders recover.
After reviewing the play, the quarterback's arm was going forward. It is an incomplete.
All right. Patriots retain the ball.
10 on the 42.
Patriots take the football back on the review.
Oh, no doubt about it. That was a clear fumble. That's the same thing as the hit that they called me for on Staber. I mean, Stevie Wonder knows that was a fumble.
Ray Hamilton was just another interested observer. 25 years later, when Walt Coleman restored New Englanders' faith in the NFL officiating system. But how did his teammates feel? Was the Tuck rule call and ultimately the 2001 Super Bowl championship their revenge for roughing the passer? Not to Steve Nelson.
Yeah, it was good. You know, being a, you know, wanting the home team to win, obviously, that was good. You know, you kind of feel for the guys on the other team who, you know, are fighting their heads off, and all of a sudden, you know, a bad call because you've been in their shoes determines the game. But making up, and nah, it'll never make it up.
No, the only thing that would have vindicated that game in 76 for me was someone to send me a Vince Lombardi Super Bowl trophy and say, well, we didn't earn this.
There's absolutely a sense of payback. And I was being interviewed by an Oakland radio station day after that game, and they're wailing and moaning and complaining about the call. And I said, look, fellas, I remember because I was there at the game calling the play with that phony, fake, phantom roughing the passer call on Ray Hamilton. That call went in favor of the Raiders. You won that game. This call went in favor of the Patriots. They won this game. What goes around comes around.
Maybe your feelings about 2001 being retribution for 1976 are in direct correlation to your distance from that Oakland Coliseum field. Maybe Gil Santos represents the feelings of Patriot Nation a little better than the guys whose hearts were broken by a yellow flag. And while it's impossible to think about that season without remembering the painful end, it remains one of the best Patriot teams ever. A team that came from nowhere and made football matter here in New England. I'm Bob Soucy. Thanks for listening.
These were not stars in other teams, but that's not what makes a great team. You just need players who are consistent in their performance, don't make mistakes, don't let anything affect their performance. They all just come to play together, and that was that 1976 Patriots football team.
It was a lot of fun. I really enjoyed those years. I enjoyed that 75, 76 to about 80, 81, somewhere in there. And that they were just, those were the best part of my pro football career.
That was just fun. That was a young team and a young coach and a, you know, team that hadn't done it before. So everything was new, you know, and it was very cool.
It was just a great team, man. That was such a great time to play with guys like them that just really got after people, and it was exciting. I guess it was exciting because they had not ever performed like that until that year. They were all together. They knew they had it, but that year it all kind of came together for them, and it was kind of cool to be there.
I think the 76 team was as good as any Patriot team that I played on, even the 85 team. We had a great number, not a great number, but enough older veterans to lend leadership, and a lot of really good young players that knew how to play football and knew how to win. I enjoyed that 76 team as much as any team I played on.